I just want to share with you a tool in Hilchas, between Hilchas Rosh Hashanah and Hilchas, in fact, between Hilchas Yom Kippur and Hilchas Sukkah, the most beautiful Sfas Emes. The tool says something really, it's a beautiful Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes is something really interesting. Sfas Emes is that it's Yom Kippur is called, Yom Kippur is on the 10th of Tishrei, and Sukkah is on the 15th. But interestingly, the Torah calls it "Lekachtem lachem b'yom rishon," as we all know. "V'lekachtem lachem," you should take b'yom rishon on the first day. On the first day, "V'lekachtem lachem b'yom rishon on the first day." Now, what does b'yom rishon mean? B'yom rishon on the first day. It's not the first of Tishrei. Rather, it's the 15th of Tishrei. So, what does it mean on the first day? What is it referring to the first day? So, the Gemara darshens that it's talking about rishon, not as far as the calendar is concerned. It's not the first of Tishrei, but rather what it is rishon lecheshbon avonos. It's the first of the cheshbon of counting the avonos, the averus. First count, because that's after Yom Kippur. Nothing, you know, we're all clean, and it's the first lecheshbon avonos, the first of the first of that. So that's what the Gemara says. That's the words of the Gemara. Rishon lecheshbon avonos. There's one very obvious question to that. And the question is, I don't know, but I'm saying from the 10th until the 15th, they've got a minute or two to do an Aveira. I mean, there's always enough time to speak Lashon Hara for some reason. And there's always enough time to be nichshel in Aveiras. So it's really interesting. So how come that it's really interesting. So from, it's called Rishon lecheshbon avonos. So there's a fascinating Torah. The Torah says that from Yom Kippur until, it's fascinating. The Torah says from Yom Kippur until Sukkot, people are so busy. You're so busy doing putting your sukkah up and choosing dalet minim, and getting ready. There's no time for the sotan at all. There's no real averas. And as Fasemis says something very fascinating, Fasemis says, for me, we see a moving point. It's if you think about it, it's almost an enigma. It's unbelievable. The Rishon lecheshbon avonos is, which day is Rishon? The Rishon, the first day, what is the first day? It's Sukkot. Sukkot is the first day. And the days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, that's pre-first day. So, the day between the days before Yom Kippur and Sukkot, we don't suspect Averus. Because we're busy with the mitzvah trying to get organized for Sukkot. Rishon lecheshbon. But on Sukkot itself, it's Rishon lecheshbon avonos. On Sukkot itself, it's already Rishon lecheshbon avonos. There could already be Averus. How can that be? Between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, we're busy arranging for Sukkot. And there is a potential room for Averus. But on Sukkot itself, there's no room for Averus. How can that be? Isn't that interesting? So the Sfas Emes says something unbelievable. Did you hear the kasha? It's almost a kasha. Rishon lecheshbon avonos, Sukkot, well, it's already considered, there's already room for Averus, there's space for Averus. But before that, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, there's no room for Averus. It says Sfas Emes, from here we see that a person gets ready for a mitzvah, the hachonas, the preparation towards a mitzvah, is even greater than the mitzvah itself. It's a chesidish vort, but it's a beautiful vort. If a person, this is not just, we're not just trying to arrange ourselves for sukkahs, it's much more than that. It's not a practical, organizational type of, it's not just practicality. It's a ruchnistige thing. When you're looking for your esrei, Yeah, you know it. When you're looking for your esrei, when you're putting up your sukkah, it's not just a technical heicha timtza for arranging your sukkah. It's not just enabling yourself to do a mitzvah. Rather, it is that you're actually fulfilling a mitzvah. That's what comes out from the Sfas Emes.
The effort is actually the mitzvah.
That's right. That's what he comes out from the Sfas Emes. That's what the Sfas Emes seems to be saying. Yeah? That's what the Sfas Emes seems to be saying. We don't say tachanun. Why don't we say tachanun? We don't say tachanun all the way till sukkah. Why is that?
Busy with mitzvahs.
Good. Okay. Right, okay, Simon, briefly as well, this is as per text message, it's no shiur v'chol hamoed, and mitzvah we're going to find each other. I'm sure Tov Mutzlachas on Isuchag, which I believe is on a Wednesday, could that be? Yeah, so I think that Maariv is 7:45 from now onwards, so shiur for the next, at 8 o'clock in Mitzvah Hashem, 8 to 8:30. Okay. Right, okay, we're up to Simon. Simon Mem, we're going to be learning Siv Beis tonight in Mitzvah Shem. Very interesting halacha. With regards to additional halachas of Tefillin, we touched last year, we spoke about Tefillin that fall down, and even a Sefer Torah that falls down, and talking a little bit about Bizoyan of Tefillin, and Bizoyan and the lack of respect towards Tefillin. We're now carrying on with an additional Shaila, which is very relevant, Very relevant, but as the Mishnah Berurah points out, very shyless. Baishish boi tefillin. A house that has tefillin. This is not only talking about a house, this is a room, primarily a room. Baishish boi tefillin. Also the shamash boi mitosoi. Tashmimit, the relations is also. Ad shiotziem, until you take it out. Now, the Mishnah Berurah points out the same halach is also, lasish tzrochov. If there would be a bathroom or a toilet, if, with regards to tefillin in that room. And very similar, of course, will be the shaila with regards to changing nappies. It's the same halacha. Would you be able to change nappies in a room where there is tefillin? You don't have to change nappies if you've got mezuzah up. What if you've got a sefer Torah in your dining room? And you have to change nappies there. What is the halacha with regards to kedusha? So the Shulchan Aruch is talking about tashmish hamita, but it's not merely talking about tashmish. Anything which is bizoyan, same halacha will apply. As he says, lazer tochem and sifkot and ches. Let us see what the Mishnah Berurah says, and sifkot and hey. Let us see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Again, baishish boi tefillin, has tefillin, also, room, rather. Also leshamish boi mitosoi, at shiotziem. You need to take out a tefillin from that room. Oi, alternatively, shianichem bekli toich kli. The famous concept of a kli, besoich kli, vehu, and this is, she'ein asheni miyuchad lahem, that the second kli is not designated for it. She'im miyuchad, if it is specially designed and designated for the tefillin, afilu mea, even 100 kelim, chashuvim ke'achad, are considered one keli and not 100. Ve'im shneim einom miyuchadim lahem, if the two kelim are not designated and made for it, oi, alternatively, shapnimi einom miyuchad lahem, ve'achitzon miyuchad lahem, if the interior one is not specially designated for it, ve'achitzon, and the outside is, mutan is permitted. Oh, okay, just to introduce this concept a little bit. We understand rule number one. Rule number one is that there is an issa of bizoyan. The tefillin, which are very holy, which are heilig, are not allowed to be in a room where there is tashmit or there is a bizoyan. As lasis trochov, you're not allowed to have a tefillin in that room. Now, point number one. Point number two, we're learning that they need to be covered. If you cover them up, then it's fine. Covering up is fine. But not just any covering, there's rules with regards to what kind of covering is. What we're learning now is there needs to be a kli betoich kli. It needs to be a keli within a keli. It needs to be double covered. Double covered. Right. So far, so good. But within that halacha, there's a disclaimer. There's an exception. And the halacha is that if you've got a keli which has been specially designed, specially created, and specially formed and shaped for the tefillin, that is not really such a good keli. That's not a good keli. That's not really considered a protection, if you understand what I'm saying, a protection for lack of kedusha. Because it's specially made for that shape, so it becomes bottle to the tefillin. It's as if it's an extension of the tefillin. Therefore, it's not going to protect it from a lack of kedusha. Does that make sense? So therefore, you're much better off by putting another cover on top, put a plate on top, a pot on top, put a hat on top, you're much better off doing that than having a specially designed cover which is bottled towards the tefillin. Does that make sense? Okay, we're going to see the details shortly. No, it's not. Because you're a pot, yeah, well, it's not really bizarre because you're protecting its kedusha thereby. You're protecting it from, this is not something which is bottled to the tefillin, it's an external type of protection. And therefore, it's not bizarre. In a Musadig way, you're right, really. I hear what you're saying. It's a very edel point that you're saying. It's true. But halachically, we're looking at it from a point of view that this is not bottle, and therefore, it's a good protection. Yeah.
I understand this would be particularly relevant during the ghetto and in past centuries when you'd lived in very small apartments.
Yeah.
But from what you said, I understand the cases that you put to fill in, Shel Rosh,
we'll get to the cases. Very good.
Probably also because they're designed for it. But what about the tefillin bag?
Good. We'll get to that. Beautiful. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in Mitzvah Shem. Absolutely. Very good point. We'll get to that in Mitzvah Shem. Hope tonight. Otherwise, next year. We'll get to that in Mitzvah Shem. Very good point. Yes. Yeah, did I? Okay. I want to point out, and we're not going to answer the question. Now, just to raise the question. Have you seen the Mincha Maaribs, for instance? There's lots of applications to this Shaila, but have you seen the Mincha Maaribs, like the pocket form Mincha Maarib? And sometimes people tend to put it in a plastic, which is plastic, right? Good, which is specially designed for it. No, it's not. Okay. Okay, especially. And then they put it like that in a pocket or in a wallet, and then they go like that. They'll be excused. They'll go into the bathroom with that, in the toilet with that. Is that okay or not? Right? That's going to be one challenge which hopefully we'll be able to answer. And again, changing a nappy, changing a dirty nappy in front of Sfarim. In front of Sfarim, if you change a nappy in a room where there's Sfarim, is that okay or not? Is that okay or not? Is that because we're going to see soon, the halacha doesn't only apply to tefillin. Any other item which has got ketusha, a sefer to some extent, we'll see more detail, but a sefer to some extent also has got ketusha, would that be a problem or not? Yeah?
But if they put it inside their wallet, because it's double-covered.
Good. We'll get to that. Very good. Yeah? Is it in the wallet? And the wallet is in the pocket. Is that considered kids? But their kiss? Very good. Let us see. Lots of shailas. Let us start exploring these shailas a bit. So I've gotten Dalet, a very widely quoted Mishnah Berurah. That's probably the entrance to the entire sugya. So I've gotten Dalet says as follows: Tefillin, v'hu adin chumashim or sidurei tefillas. It doesn't only apply with regards to tefillin. The same shaila would also apply to a chumash, a printed chumash or sidurei tefillas or a siddur or shas or any other sfom that you may have in your house. Bein beksivo oy betfos. Now this is already a very important Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says whether it's beksiva, which would really be handwritten, oy betfos, or it's a printed item. Hakol yesh bim ketusha, they all have ketusha. This is actually a machlokes achronim. From when the printing press started, was it 1492? Mr. Vigodan, in 1492? Yeah, something, I don't know, it's about the same time than something, oh no, could that be? But from when the press started, the Shaila emerged, has this got the same Kedusha? Remember, when we talk about Sforim really, which are handwritten by a sofer, or handwritten by, when it's written by, literally by hand, we all understand there is increased Kedusha. There's Kedusha of writing a sefer. What about something which comes from a printed page? Does this also have Kedusha, or maybe not? Now, of course, there's many ways of printing, and things have changed over the generations. And indeed, the poets can differentiate between the old types of printers where they were actually just pressed, and yeah, until the very, very contemporary digitally forms of printing. There is some differences within the poiskim, but halacha lemaisa, the poiskim saying this is pretty much based on this Mishnah Berurah, that we don't differentiate at all, and anything which is printed has got the same ketusha as handwritten. One could argue that obviously it's not the same ketusha. What would you say, Mr. Svarim?
Possibly not.
Yeah, why is that? Lushma, lacking in lishma, lacking kavona.
A printing press can't. It's like the difference between machine made models and hand made models.
Yeah, to some extent. Yeah, to some extent, yeah.
But the old printing presses was with
hand. That's right, it was literally by hand. Yeah.
Yeah, or even a typewriter also, when you press it, it causes a thing to go down.
Yeah. So saying it's an extension of your force, of your kayak, of your hand, yeah.
It's not where you're just pressing a button every time.
Correct. Right, you're saying that the intrinsic, the words have got Kedusha. Intrinsically, there's Kedusha in it. Good svar. Oh, it's actually the same Shaila. You're right. It's actually exactly the same Shaila. As to whether, if you want to know if it needs Gneza, if it's stone Gneza, it's got to do with this Kedusha Shaila. It's mamash this. Does it need Gneza or not? So you may be aware that there are poskim a bit lenient with regards to the svarim or newspapers nowadays. They have some more lenient approaches. Oh, with Hashem's name, yeah, you're right. But in theory, those shitters, there are also some people who want to be a little bit more lenient. You're right. Aloch Lamai said it's a bit, you're right, questionable. But it's all got to do with the shine of the printing, of the printing press. Yeah, yeah. Pardon there?
They'll be dargis.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you've got something printed English translation of Rashi, then the stomach, it's not going to be the same as...
Very good. Mishneh Berurah Mamash said this. It's in the next point of Mishneh Berurah. You're quite right. The Mishneh Berurah continues literally in what you're saying. Va'afilu em b'ksav meshita. Now, ksav meshita is what we would nowadays call script. The Beis Yosef and the Rishonim speak about ksav meshita, which is what the equivalent of script, of handwritten script. Ha'inu she'enu ksiv astam v'ura ksav asher. Well, what he means is that it's just script. So he says that even if it's script, it has still kedusha in it. The Mishnah Berurah is very machmir. He says whether it's printed or and it's handwritten, we're not in actual Ashuri's letters. It's not in stam letters, but it's in script. Either way, kedusha is chal on it. And then he adds the kichas ha-seifa and the binding of the seifa. That's not considered a covering at all. Just because it's bound in the front and the back, that's not considered a covering at all. Why? The himeguf ha-sefer. It's very much part of the sefer. That's not a kisui at all, yeah.
So how would you take it? If you had a braille chumash, would you say, it's not ashuris, but and it's not handwritten, but it's still text? Would you say that's not the issue because it's braille? The proper Hebrew chumash.
There is. I know for a fact there is, yeah. Yeah. Good shaila. I don't know. I mean, probably, I imagine, what would you say?
I'd say it's stretching it.
Why is that? What's the difference between Braille and ksav meshita?
Because it isn't, it's not Hebrew. I mean,
it's different.
No, because I understand there is a bit of a svar lechalek, and because it's symbols, it's not really letters.
So the answer to that, of course, is you take it personally.
What do you want to say?
Script. When you're talking about script, you presume that it extends to other languages as well.
Right.
That's how I understood this. That it doesn't just mean. Any written language, so then why would Braille be any different?
Right. Well, Braille actually, if I'm not mistaken, Braille is actually letters.
Yeah.
Braille is letters. It's symbols, yeah, symbols of letters, yeah. So I would be very surprised if it's different than Meshita.
It's just dots.
Yeah.
It's just really
dots. Yes, is it?
Dots and
I hear. It's a very nice shaila. I really don't know. It's an ashaila. It's really an ashaila. But it says that the covering of the binding of the safe is not considered a kisui at all, uve inon, and it's required oid additional shnei kisuim, additional two covers are required. I am buried there. Simon Reisha and Aleph betas shekosav kol amikel bekedusha sforim. Whoever is lenient in kedusha sforim and itfosin, which are printed, osi litin is adin, is it will give din vecheshbon on it. It will give judgment on it. Because even printed sforim have got kedusha. The tfus have a kmo ksiva, because printed sefer has got the same kedusha as handwritten. Ach bechuvas chavazoy, but my answer is the chavazoy. Zichroni livracha, noite lehokel is lenient. B'shas adchak, he's lenient when necessary. K'she'en b'mal lechasus, if you've got no other way of covering it, the chavazoy zichroni livracha is lenient, and he says you can actually be lenient with regards to printed sforim. Not with handwritten sforim, but if you've got no other way of covering, if it's printed, the chavazoy is meikel. Yeah.
If it's printed too small to read, because
I don't know what you mean. You can't. And you can't read it.
You need to mount for like 10,000 times.
Really? I don't know anything about it. I really don't know. Does it lose kedusha because it's not legible?
Back in the old days, when we were young, if you went to the library and you wanted to look up reference, they had these little boxes of microfiches. They have whole books. Rather than having them on computer, because they didn't have computers back then, they had these little tiny films, and like each page was about half an inch by an inch, maybe a quarter of an inch by half an inch, and you had these big magnifying machines.
Really?
You could have slot it in like a disc, yeah. And it would magnify the whole page.
That's how we smuggled Shasta to Russia.
Oh, really? Really? That's interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah, I wonder if it's... If he loses kedusha, because I mean it's definitely easier to cover them up. Yeah, but I don't know if it loses kedusha because of its size. I wonder.
I mean, it's probably easy to read, isn't it?
Yeah.
A machine to read.
Yeah.
People used to have these like Yonatan Uziel Malach things. And
Right. Yeah.
Very, very small. You can't read them, but I guess they think it's a sigil. So they.
Yeah.
Would we just have to go in Seamus now?
Yeah, imagine. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no reason why not. No reason why not. Yeah. Okay, so so Siv Cotton, Hamish the Burmi Tosa Las Troch, same apply also to be excused. Same aloch would apply as well. Archie it's same until you remove it. Bechet Ache different room. Okay, now we're finding over here a heter, which is not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch over here, which is a mechitza. A mechitza is also considered a different room. So in other words, if you have a problem of, that you need a kisu, a kli b'soich kli, be it lazer tzochav or whatever it is, and you can't cover it up, but you can't just put a curtain up, then it's definitely in order. That's perfectly okay. That's very relevant sometimes if you are, whatever. But sometimes to put a mechitza is easier because a mechitza doesn't have to be a strong mechitza made out of solid bricks. Of course, a curtain or anything like that is good as well. Now, an eruv won't work for that. Although we're going to say, we're not say, a mechitza does work. A mechitza does work. As long as it's 10 tefachim high. Yeah.
So if you change the levy in another room.
Yeah.
But the door open.
Right, that will be fine.
Even the door open.
Yeah, that will be fine. Because you might say you got a mechitza there. You got a, it's considered a mechitza. You got a mechitza, that's fine.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Could you say if you've got, say, you got a through lounge,
it's interesting because I saw some person speaking about Tzurus HaPesach, but how can it work? If you've got Mamash Mechitza, then it works. If it's a separate room, like your case, it's a separate room, even if the Mechitza is not a complete Mechitza, but if it's considered a separate room by general consensus, then it's fine. But a Tzurus HaPesach, it's a nice shaila, but it's not going to work. Yeah. Okay, fine. Rabbi Isai, I wish you a very, very good Yom Tov and a good Geben Shtyo, a good Kvittel, and you also know all our tefillah should be in his Kabul.